You have a chance in the name of Jesus. As I've said, we want to pray right now. Pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you right now. Thank you for this chance, this opportunity. Thank you that you've awakened me. Thank you that you allow the breath to flow through, Father, to cause my heart to pump the blood in my veins. And that blood that flows through the vein that causes us to be able to have the activity of our limbs, to give us a mindset to be able to think, to make choices and decisions. And Father, today we make a choice and decision to praise you, to serve you, to acknowledge you right now in all that way that you might direct our paths. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your long suffering, Jesus. Lord, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do anything. But because of your love, we are still here. We still have an opportunity. Father, even when people ignore you, even when they don't hear you, even when they don't hear your voice, even if they don't recognize your voice, even if they ignore your voice, Father, we thank you. Thank you right now. Thank you. And that they must know that one day, someday, they're going to have to make a choice. Everybody, every person, every human being is going to have to make that choice. To choose ye this day whom they shall serve. Father, you're not a supermarket, a grocery market where we just come to shop, to give, to get from you, from what we want and all desires. But we need to have the attitude to come to give ourselves to you, to give ourselves to you because we don't belong to ourselves no way, no how. Father, we thank you for you giving us this opportunity to make choices and to choose in our lives and which way we must go or want to go. But Lord, help us to have a mindset to acknowledge you, to thank you, to give you praise. Father, we lift you up. We thank you right now, Jesus. Somebody out there, Father, is confused. They're lost. Mixed up, Father. Don't know what to do. Don't know what decision to make. Father, let your Holy Spirit come right now. Come today, Father, through my voice. Father, as I humble myself to be used by you, speak today, Father. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, to the mind, to the heart, Father, to the soul, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this chance. Thank you for this opportunity. We glorify your name. We lift it up. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Father, for everything. Everything you've done. Everything you're doing. And everything you're going to do. Father, there's so much chaos in the land right now. But it's not where we don't understand that it wouldn't happen. But your word have already said that these things shall come to pass in the last and evil day, perilous times. They're in the land right now, Father. But Father, anyone that who is listening right now, if they're lost and confused, or going through, or mixed up, or caught up in this worldly way of living and lost, influenced by the adversary, help them to know it's time to give themselves to you right now. Give themselves to you right now so that you might come in and sup with them, Father, and bring them healing and deliverance. Father, we thank you. Thank you right now, Jesus. Thank you right now. We praise you forevermore. We say amen and amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I'm longing for you, Jesus. Somebody longing for you right now. Somebody needs you right now. Your desire need to work in them today, Father. Help them to give themselves to you right now. Somebody going through sickness. Somebody dealing with cancer. Somebody dealing with sugar diabetes. Father, somebody dealing with anxiety. somebody dealing with high blood pressure, somebody dealing with frustration, anger, bitterness, somebody dealing with temperance, Father. Their temper is high and they just snap at the drop of a hat, Father. We thank you. The heart needs to be changed, Father. Take the heart, Father. Work on the heart, Father. Father, help us, those that are listening, that they can turn their lives to you right now. Everything that we dream about, it need to be all because of you and for you. And every plan that we have should be that you are in that plan. And that you would guide the direction of our plans. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need to give ourselves to you right now, Lord. We need to make up a mind, Father. Who is it that we're going to serve? Who is it? Who is it? Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. Oh, my God, we thank you. Oh, Lord, work with us. Work on us. Work in us. Oh, Jesus, we need you right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. Help us to give the supreme sacrifice of our lives back to you that you've given to us and given us a second chance. Giving us a second chance to choose ye this day whom we shall serve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you for my being here, Father. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for being used, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you would speak through me right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you right now. Yes, yes, yes. This is what we must recognize right there. My life is not my own. To you I belong, Lord Jesus. It's time for me to give myself to you. To give myself to you right now, Jesus. Somebody ought to be ready right now. Somebody hearing this right now ought to be ready to give yourself to Jesus. Somebody's tired and ready to let go, let loose of the weight of the heavy load that they're carrying. They're trying to carry. Father, you told them to cast all their cares upon you because you care for them. Oh, you're caring right now. You care right now. All they have to do is choose Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Somebody going through, somebody depressed, somebody under stress. Anxiety is overshadowing them. Can't sleep at night, having nightmares. Father, they need some help right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody is about to give up. Got some bad news from the doctor, ready to throw in the towel, Father. Thank you right now, Jesus. But you can give them comfort. You can give them comfort and guidance and direction by the Holy Spirit. If they would just open up their hearts, oh, Lord Jesus, if they would just open up their heart and let you in right now, let you come in. Let you come in. Forget about anything that's going on all around them right now, that they got their minds on you right now, focused on you, ready to turn to you, ready to give you all their all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning again. Thank God for this opportunity. Today, it's a beautiful, wonderful day in the name of Jesus. All right, today in your hearing, we're talking about hearers and doers. Hearers and doers. Amen. First, we want to begin, with Romans 10. I think that's what I want to read, 10, verse 17. I want to give you a recap of that particular verse. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go to James chapter 1. Amen. Here in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to say one more time. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot make it in this world. You will not make it in this world. You will not be able to handle any circumstance, any situation, any obstacle, any trial, anything that you have to face without God's word. Won't be able to do it. He lets us know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then we know in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, meaning the Word is God. So your faith, that measure of faith that I told you before, that God has placed in every individual, every human being, every person, that faith have to be activated by his word. That faith have to be cultivated by his word. That faith have to be touched and illuminated by his word. There is no other way that the faith that you have, people say we have faith. Yeah, you utilize that small amount of faith that you have confidence in things that you want. Yes. But this faith that I'm talking about is to have faith in Jesus, is to have faith in his word. For the more sincere things that are happening in your life, there are some major stuff going on in our lives today. There are some major challenges that we face each and every day. There's a conclusion that I've come to when it comes to life's obstacles. I've come to understand I don't have problems, I have challenges. And I pray that you can agree with me as you think about that. Even the thing that is so difficult to manage, they're not problems, they're challenges. They're trials, they're tribulation. They're a thing that the Lord said that we were going to have to face. But we cannot and we will not be able to face it all by ourselves. In order for us to get through it, we're going to have to operate by the faith, the measure of faith that has been given to us by the word of God and by God himself. So we thank the Lord that his word is food for our soul. His word is food for our spirit. His word is food for our minds. If we desire to get into the depths of the word of the true and living God, if we desire to obey God's word, if we desire to hear God's word, the reason the world is growing to the chaotic state, we know that God has already said that it would come to pass, but also because the lack of faith, the lack of trust in who God is and what he said he would do. And so we live in this time, this dispensation of time, trying to figure out, trying to grasp on, trying to get answers to something that we don't have the answers to. The only someone that has the answer, that is the answer, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all our problems, every situation, every aspect of our lives. Every disease, every hurt, every pain, anything that you're facing physically, mentally. Father, we thank you right now. Yes, it's Jesus that we need. It's Jesus is the answer to it all. But to the message at hand that I get back to here where it says here in James, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. And verse 19 says, my brothers, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. I'm afraid that there are many people today. They have listened, they have heard, and they are hearing. And they practice hearing if they're consistently going to church regularly, consistently, and hear God's word, but don't act on it. The Bible lets us know it would rather that you wouldn't do that. It would rather that you wouldn't even hear God's word if you're not going to do his word, if you're not going to obey his word, if you're not going to act on his word. And you see, this is how faith is done, in believing who God is, in believing what he can do, and believing what he has done, and believing what he will do. The only way that that's going to happen again, I repeat again, that we're going to have to accept God's word. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it a couple of times that I may be going over and over again. That is to lock this message into your mind, into your heart, in your spirit, and your soul. He says again, he said, I'm going back to the beginning of that verse again, 19. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man, every person, every individual be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath, that means the retaliation, the revenge, to getting somebody back or payback, it does not produce the righteousness of God. So these wars that we're seeing, these murderings that we're seeing, the killings that we are seeing, the hate that we're seeing, the revenge that we're seeing, the retaliation that we're seeing will not produce the righteousness of God. It's only going to add more evil to evil. More evil to evil. And he says it here in the 21st verse of James, of chapter 1. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, that's moral filth, your ways of activity and the way that you live. And let every man be swift to hear, careful, cautious, readily, consistently to hear, ready, anxious, wanting to hear. Hallelujah. Wanting to hear. And slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The key here, let every person, every individual, every man, everybody be swift to hear. That's from a child, to a teenager, to an adult, to the husband, to the wives, to the grandparents, to the grandfather, grandmothers, mothers and fathers, aunts, uncles, nieces, everyone. No one is exempt from this message. No one is exempt from this scripture that's in the Holy Bible that the Lord have already spoken. No one. No one is above this word. No one is greater than this word. No one. So therefore, lay aside all filthiness, all moral filth and filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. The overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive what you're hearing right now. Receive with patience, with guidance, with interest, God's word. With hunger of God's word. Hunger of God's word. The Bible lets me know that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Shall be filled. So you must hunger for God's word. You must crave for God's word. You must desire to hear God's word. You can't make it in this life with God, without God's word. And you think because you're still living, nothing tragically, nothing major has happened to your life, and you haven't picked up a Bible, you haven't gone to anybody's service, you don't attend church nowhere, and you don't even acknowledge God's word in no kind of way, and you're still able to move forward, it's not because you're doing anything great. It's because, again, it's the love, it's the grace, and the mercy of God that is allowing you chance, after opportunity right now. and those that consistently hear this word. Those that consistently hear the word must do this. Let me finish this scripture. So therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if you don't hear God's word, you're deceiving your own self. If you're going about thinking you know it all, got it fixed, got it figured out, then you're losing the battle. You have lost yourself. You have confused yourself. You have placed yourself in a confusing state. Hallelujah. For the word of God is simple. It's plain. It's ready. It's ready. It's sharp. It knows everything about you. It knows your intent. It knows your desire. It knows what you want to do. Hallelujah. It knows what you feel like you think you know as well. But you don't know what you think you know. But God's word lets us know that it is the only thing that's going to allow us or going to give us the direction that we need. Hallelujah. The directions that we need. And when we try to live this life, we try to go about this life without God's word, then we're sadly setting ourselves up for chaos and destruction. Hallelujah. For here in Romans 12, in verse 3, says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You see that right there? Where God has dealt each one of us a measure of faith. A measure of faith. A measure of faith. This is serving God with spiritual gifts and guidance and direction. Your faith is the main course of it. The Bible lets us know that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without it. Without it. We've just read faith comes by hearing, 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 hearing. It increases. It builds confidence. It builds structure. It builds sound mind. It builds boldness. It builds stature. It builds integrity. It builds holiness and righteousness before God. Hallelujah. And we've already turned to James and let you know, but don't just listen to this. Don't just go to church regularly and hear God's word and don't act on any of it and walk right back out in your life, everyday living, and continue to perform the same activities that you left from before you entered to the house of God or before you heard God's word. Even now, whether you may be inside the house of God, this message going across the airway is as well as if you were in the house of God. It is resonated in the right way. It is important. It is authoritative. It is ready. It is commanded. It is demanded by God's word. God's word. Anytime his word is spoken in any place, it has its authority and its demands then, the time that you hear it. And here's a question, the question I ask you all the time. All the time. What is it just to go to church and still remain the same? What is it just to wake up every morning and still be the same individual? Nothing has changed about your life. What is it that your mindset is going through the same old routine every day and nothing advancing, nothing's growing, nothing's moving forward, even though in your eyes it may look like it's moving forward? I just read to you in Romans. What did Romans say? What did Romans say? He says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself. not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. 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 So we need some help. We need some help. And the help we need is going to come from Jesus if we declare it, if we give it to him. It's up to him after you give it to him. But you got to make the choice to choose to bring it to him. He's not going to break down the door. He's not going to beat you up. He's not going to force you. But one thing will happen, things in your life won't go well for you when you don't listen to what he's commanding you to do. We just read that the activity of a person does not produce the righteousness of God, the bitterness, the hatred, and all of that stuff does not produce the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. In Luke 11, 28, we want to switch over there right quick. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Hallelujah. I want to share this with you again as well. Hallelujah. So it's time to magnify the Lord. Not just say it out of your mouth, but put some action behind it. Put some work behind it. Lord have mercy. In the book of Luke, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, God's word is always ready. It's always sharp. It always understands. It always knows. It always knows what to do at the time, in the time that it needs to do what it needs to do. But the thing, what we have to do, we have to yield ourselves to him. We have to yield ourselves to him for him to allow him to do the will in our lives. Hallelujah. I said Luke 20:11-28. All right. This word, you've got to hold it inside of you. All right. Here it says, I'm going to have to read. Let me just read from 24 all the way down so that you get this here. 27. Let me skip that. 27. Keeping the word. Amen. 27. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But look what Jesus answered her and said. You see, trying to give credit to the mother, but Jesus is going to address this way. He says, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's what time it is. You're talking about something about how I got here. But I'm trying to tell you what need to be done while I'm here. But he said more than that. He said, this thing is bigger than that. Bigger than what you're talking about. You see, he's talking about blessing the womb that he came from and the breast that nursed it. This is bigger than that. This is what Jesus was getting there. Greater than that. He says, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God. Do you hear that? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And keep it. What did James say? Don't be just hearers, but be ye doers. Be ye doers. Don't be just hearers and doers. Here he said, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. What good is it to hear God's word every Sunday, even on this radio broadcast that you're listening to, and go to your place of worship right after this and get all of this good service, all of this stuff, the word of God being spoken, and not acknowledge it in all thy way that he might direct your path, that you might put it into perspective in your life and still be this, remain the same human being you were before you started? What good is it? What good is it? What good is it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's no good. It's like the man that spoke, that he looked in the mirror and he heard the word and he walked away. In other words, he ignored what God, or ignoring what God is saying. Just like today, you hear this word. You hear it on a regular basis. You go to church, you hear it, you recognize it, but then you walk away and ignore God's word. He says, what good is it? What good is it for you to do that? You see the problem. You look in the mirror every day. You know you have a problem. You know you're not satisfied. You know you're not where you ought to be. You know you're not where you should be. And yet you walk away after hearing this word and leave this message and say, oh, it was good. How good was it? Let me tell you, when you tell me that you had a good message, you know, the only thing that's good about the message is when it made a change in your life. When it caused you to see something in your life that needs correcting. That needs correcting, because watch this here. In the book of James, back in the book of James. Reading down from 22 again. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, watch this here. I said it a minute ago, but now I'm going to read it for you. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself. See, he see what's going on with himself. He know what's going on inside of him. He know what's happening in his everyday life. He know where he's not coming up to. He know where he or she is not aligned with God's word. He know this. And he looks at himself every day in the mirror and he sees it. And even when God's word, that he hears God's word on a regular basis, because God's word is a mirror as well to you to see the wrong and the unrighteousness in your life. And then you walk away and don't do anything about it. Don't do anything about it. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Goes away and he forgets. In other words, he doesn't want to remember who he really is, what he really sees in the mirror. Don't want to admit the problem, because the problem is with you in the mirror. You see, we do these things and all this stuff that's happening in the world. It's not, God don't have no problems. We are the problem. It's not the next man's problem. It's every man's problem within themselves or herself. Every man. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. But people live a life as if, oh boy, they just got it going on. Oh man, life is so great and so good. It's just, oh, it's all right. But where's the praise? Where's the thanksgiving that the Lord deserves for what he's done, what he's doing regularly in our lives? What is it? Where is it? Ashamed to open your mouth to give him praise. Ashamed to glorify his name. Ashamed to note that he is the one and true God. Ashamed, and don't recognize him for who he really is. Hallelujah. But this is what he does, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, of freedom. This is the one that made up his mind right here. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom and continues in it, in God's word of freedom, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, James said it, and we just got through saying it in Luke, he said it. Jesus said it. It aligns with what Jesus said, what we just read, and here what James is saying it again is what he just said, that he is blessed. This one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, here we go right here, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. That's why I'll be talking about why, if you're just going to church and you're running your mouth and you're not active on God's word. You're saying a lot of stuff, but you ain't doing nothing. Nothing. You're not living according to what this word is saying. Oh, you think just a few Sundays, a few Mondays, a few Tuesdays, or Wednesdays, or showing up at Bible study, Bible class, church service on Sunday, programming and all that. See, I told y'all about the functionality of the program, what you committed to. So that's not the message today. The message today is hearers and doers of God's word. Let me help you with something, church folk. You think because you come up with these nice programs, put on these programs, get a few people coming to sing, put on a show, don't you realize what you're doing? You ought to ask, does God get the glory in this? Is there glorification in magnifying his name? There's so much stuff that's happening in the house of God that he is not getting no glory for. This the word. This the word. He's not getting any glory. And we're wondering why the house of God is not, don't have anybody interested in coming. And the one that's coming, they're just there. The body's there, but their mind somewhere else. A lot of people, physical bodies in the house of God, sitting up in the house of God, but their mind ain't nowhere near what the spokesman or the speaker or the preacher or the pastor, minister is speaking on. As you ask them what the subject was or what the title of a message or what was his theme and what the thought process, what were the context of the message, they couldn't tell you nothing. Not a thing. Wouldn't even remember what he first started out saying. So what good is it? I'm talking about being a hearer and a doer. Religious deeds do not get you nowhere. Jesus, the word just said it. He says, let me read it again. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Here's what's gonna work, 27. Woo! Hallelujah. Here's the deal right here, the real deal. 27. Pure and undefiled religion. Let me say that again. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. This is why sanctification is important, because that's what sanctification, to be sanctified, means is to be set apart, to be set aside, to set in a different manner away from the way the world lives and how it acts. If you're supposed to be a Christian, if you're supposed to be a believer, if you're supposed to be trusting God, your actions and your behavior is not to be like the world. And the problem is, you see, one thing that the Lord is, and my Sunday school message coming up this morning, God is a just God. He's a just God. And he will not have nothing else before him. And if you can't believe that and not accepting that, well, baby, brothers and sisters, you're setting yourself up for doom, for destruction. But here, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Now, in their trouble, when things are happening bad, I mean to help the less fortunate people. They just named a few, but the less fortunate ones. And then for yourself, and then to keep oneself unspotted from the world, not to be like the world, not to be contaminated by the ways and the desires and the looks and the appearances of the lifestyle of the world. I know what you want. You want comfort. You want to be comfortable in what you're doing and say that you're going to heaven at the same time. I'm sorry, but I'm not here to make you comfortable. Not here to make you. The word of God, I've already read this to you many, many of times. The word of God didn't come to make you comfortable. Jesus even said it. Jesus said, I didn't come to perform none of all these great things. He said, I come to bring a sword. A sword. What sword is that? It's in Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. You think I'm out of context? It's in the Bible. the book says, what God's word is. You can quote it, you can hear it, not face it, the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hallelujah. And it goes on to give you the different people that live by faith. They live by faith. Hallelujah. Live by faith. Hallelujah. So in verse 12 of Hebrews, she says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run this endurance, this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the author, finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the book right there. The word is a sword, because the Bible lets us know God's word is powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. Yes, it's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of asunder. Yes. Yes. That's right. Piercing all the way down. Yes, it cuts deep into the spiritual mind, the fleshly aspects, to get to the root of the problem that we have. The root of the problem. That's right. So God's word is powerful. God's word is alive and active. That's what it is. It's alive and it's active. It's alive and it's ready to do what it needs to do. And when it's spoken appropriately, properly, handled skillfully, it didn't come to make you be comfortable. You see, all the other stuff that you've been doing all your life has been going through being comfortable, being entertained. This word didn't come to entertain you. This is not entertainment business. This is soul-saving business. This is in the emergency room business, where there need to be some operations, spiritual operations that are happening in your life business. Yes. Spiritual life business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what's missing today. What's missing today? Because people do not want to hear the true, emphatic, uncorruptible, indestructible word of God. Word of God. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. By faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Faith. Faith in God's word. Faith in God's word has to work hand in hand. Hearing and doing. Faith and the word. Hearing and doing, they have to work together. They have to work together. They have to work together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot separate them. God's word is just what he said it would be, and it's going to do what he said it will do. It will do that. And what's lacking today, people don't want the truth. They don't want the truth. They don't want the truth. But as I've said today, there are ways and means that you can understand this. Ways and means. In Hebrews 2:1, hallelujah, before I close out here. Hebrews 2:1 says something like this. We must pay more attention. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Let me say that again. This is a warning to pay attention, to listen, and to hear. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, even as now I speak. Don't count this message that I'm ministering to you as something, just a little something, and throw it off as if it's because you might feel like that it's not in the upper areas of places or life of what you used to or what you've seen. Or televised like the big evangelists that have to go everywhere all over the world and have all of the members and all of that. Don't count this message that I'm speaking to you today lightly. Because the message that I speak, and I pray that God always use me to speak, is the true and the infallible, nothing but God's word. Not me, not my thinking, but God's word. And this is why I read these scriptures and I quote them to you directly so that you may be able to see them. You may be able to understand them. Because that's what's going to make it work. So we got to be careful at this stuff that we're listening to, that we hear. And the way that we gain this faith and activity, there's a couple of things that will help you hear God's voice and you receive God's voice. You receive God's voice through listening to others, through the ministers that minister the word of God. You hear God's voice through reading God's word. And you can hear God's voice through time that you get alone to yourself and stand still and be calm and patient and listen and meditate on God's word and listen for his voice. And at that time, you have to keep silence to hear for God's voice to work and to speak to you and to let you know what's going on. He's speaking right now. He's speaking right now. And the things that I'm saying that is resonating in your spirit right now, he's saying something to you. I don't know what it is, but I know he's saying something to you, even in the words that I speak right now, to tell you and to let you know where you are and where you need to be. But don't be like the man that's in that mirror that he hears and he looks at it and he sees himself and he sees the problem and the issues and don't do anything about it. Because this message and the thing that I'm ministering to you today is not about how long you've been going to church. Let me help you with that one right there. It's not about how long you're going to church. Not about how long you've been a member at your home church either. This message is about true commitment, true relationship, true workmanship, true obedience by the guidance and the direction and an instructing of God's word. That's what my message and my ministry is about. And that is what we're looking to change lives, save souls, and move forward in this world that we can change communities. You see, communities and towns and cities all over the world are not going to change until the people change. There's nothing going to change. All of the information on the news and everywhere is not going to change until people change. Until people change. I'm talking about truly change. Truly change. So I leave you with that last scripture. We must pay, I'm going to say it again before, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Father God, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. We pray that someone heard it and they grasp on to what you are saying. We pray that they heard your voice through this message. We pray that they looked in the mirror of your word, and recognized where their life is and how they are living. Because you know, you already know. And they know. So send your word right now. Touch right now, Jesus. Touch. Let your word have its way in the hearers. And not just doers. Father, we thank you right now. We praise you. We glorify your name. Father, go forth and have your way in their lives. Have your way in their life right now. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. Touch right now. Send that healing and deliverance. Help them to believe what's been spoken. And that it would enrich their lives. We thank you. We praise you for the hearers and the doers. In Jesus' name. We thank you. We say amen. And say la. And say la. May the peace of God be with you.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focus to Change Ministries. Please join us.